Hello? There we go. Want to make sure it works before I put it all on again. All right. You know, first of all, I just want to say thank you for being here today. God is good, isn't he? God is good. And, you know, I think about today and I think about the sermon today that God has given me. You know, I just want to pray real quick. Is this on right? This thing feels kind of funny. Got it on backwards, maybe? All right. Lord Father, in the name of Jesus, as we get ready to prepare to just hear your word, I ask you to help me to be a vessel, nothing more, nothing less. A vessel that speak your word, and a vessel, Lord Father, that help others to be able to hear you. We ask you, Lord, today, Lord, to touch this place. We ask you, Lord, today, Lord, to allow your spirit to continue to fill this place and allow us to remain holy and righteous unto you. Lord, let this time be a time of worship. Let this time be a time of praise. And let this time be for you. We love you, God. Amen. So, you know, I was thinking about the sermon, and I was thinking about a couple of months ago, my daughter, she wanted to get into software development, or she's going to school for computer science, and she wanted to get into doing some software development at home and learning more about software development, and she needed to download some programs and things like that, stuff that it was kind of over my head. But she found out that her computer, she has a Mac, she found that her Mac wasn't capable of being able to download the software. So of course she comes to me and I'm like, oh man, I'm not trying to buy another laptop, right? So she comes to me and she says, hey, you know, the laptop needs certain things. So I went and researched and looked and found out I can get a hard drive and I can get a memory card and I can make this laptop work for what she needed. So I decided to do that. And then in the same process, I'm starting to think about the pain of taking a laptop apart, especially a Mac. It's kind of like taking an iPhone apart. I don't know if you guys ever done these things before, but it's never fun. Because these all these little tiny screws that doesn't have like a normal screw, and you're trying to figure out how to get it out. And then, you know, sometimes you take the screws out, you still can't open it, and you're trying to figure out why you can't open it. And there's all types of issues that come along with it. I broke a couple of iPhones before. The girls would get upset because I'll try to fix their iPhone, and then I would break it. Right? Not a good thing, right? So I decided this time I was going to get a little smart about it. And I decided what I was going to do was I was going to go and look on Amazon and see if there's a Mac tool kit. You know, those little tool kits that have all the like little pieces and parts or whatever, right? And so I actually went and did it. And I found something better than that. What I found was this multi-tool kit. And this multi-tool kit is pretty amazing. Right? It's like 10 bucks on Amazon, right? And I was like, this is awesome. So I didn't know if it was going to work like it did, but once I got it and I saw how it worked, I was like, this is awesome. So what I did was I got it, and then I had to figure it out. Quickly, I figured out what the type of screw I needed for the Mac laptop. And within minutes, I was able to open it, put the pieces in, and close it. And I was like, man, that was easy. And what made the difference was this toolkit here. This was what made the difference. So I said, okay, if it's that easy, then, you know, let me go and open up a couple of more. So I opened up a couple of more and did the same thing. And, you know, one of them having a hard drive problem that's separate, so I've still got to go and fix that one. My wife probably looking at me like, where's my laptop at? Right, where's mine? I know I got to fix it still. I ain't forgot about it. But when I'm ready to fix it, I know how to get into it real quick and get out of it real quick, right, because of this tool set here. And I was thinking about sometimes the things that seem so hard, having the right tool makes it so easy. Having the right tool allows you to be able to move farther. Have you guys experienced that in your life? In different things in your life, where it's like having the right thing allows you to move farther and actually solve your problem? Well, we've been talking about David, and we've been talking about those giants in our lives. How many of you guys have those giants in your life? When you think about those giants, you know, the tools are different, right? And so I decided to call this message today, what's your weapon of choice? When you're out there fighting those giants, whether small ones or big ones, what is your weapon of choice? And so, like David, we all have these giants, but we have to figure out what we're going to do with it. And so I started to think about, what are the tools we use today? What are the weapons we use today? And I realized that many of the weapons I use, maybe y'all better than me, so I'm just going to talk about me. Many of the weapons I use are not the best weapons. They actually don't work well. You know, if I'm upset or something, I might go and just complain to somebody, and like the weapon is a friend. Or the weapon could be a drink. Or the weapon could be, you know what, I'm going to just eat. Because that makes me comfortable, right? Or watch TV and binge watch TV all day. And there's more destructive weapons out there, right? Like the legal weapons, right? Oh, I'm going to go and sue somebody. Oh, we see that every day, all day, every minute today. Divorce. How many people like to throw out the divorce word real quick? All right, fine. The divorce, right? Quick things we throw out there, and we start using these weapons to fight these giants. The problem is that we don't end up defeating the giant. Matter of fact, even worse, the giant lingers around in our lives. Maybe even having kids and creating more giants. I don't know, but it gets even crazier, right? The longer it stays around. And so I want to touch on a little bit what Pastor has been talking about and kind of change it from a different perspective. So if you guys are here last week, Pastor Randy, he discussed the story of David and Goliath. And I'm going to be playing in that realm, but from a different lens. His big idea last week was giants exist in every life. We conquer them or they control us. Right? Those giants that we are using weapons that doesn't work for it, those giants still hang around. They control us. They start controlling our lives. They start destroying our lives, our families, our friends, our relationships. And so this was a great, great message last week because it helped us understand that if we don't do something about the giants in our lives, they will continue to control us. The other thing he talked about is where we find these giants at. And a lot of these giants we find in the people we hate, right? If you look on the next slide, you'll see that it talks about the people we hate, the people we love. It also talks about what other people say about us, the things that other people say about us, how that can become a giant. Or in what we say about ourselves. The soundtracks we play in our heads about it. I'm not good enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. Right? Everyone's picking on me. These giants can come in all forms. And what are we doing to fight them? What is our weapon of choice? So I'm going to challenge you guys today to think about that question. What is your weapon of choice? You know, Pastor Randy last week, he talked about one of the things that stops us from being able to go and challenge and actually take a weapon and take arms against our giants in life. And the biggest thing he talked about was fear. If you were here last week, you saw he put this slide up, this picture, showing fear and how there's solutions and greatness on the other side, but we allow this thin wall of fear to stop us, and therefore we are shackled. And we have this stronghold because of the fear that we have, right? Sometimes fear itself becomes our weapon. A lot of times it does. Think about it. I want you to reflect. Do deep reflection during this time. Because God is trying to tell us something today. The verses that Pastor kind of surrounded around, I'm going to go to the end of it. In the story of David and Goliath. And I'm going to go to 1 Samuel 17. If you could, stay in Samuel, because we're going to be reading several verses from there. But I'm going to go to the end of, kind of at the last point of the story of David and Goliath. We're going to start at verse 48. And it said, when the Philistine And I remember Randy was talking about Philistine, Philistine. I was doing research on this because he talked about it so much yesterday or last week that I realized both of them actually work. There's an American way of saying it, and there's a British way of saying it. So you can say Philistine, Philistine at all, you know, tomato, tomato. It works, right? So you might hear me saying both of them just to give everybody a little fair chance, you know, Philistine, Philistine, whatever you like. So when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slug it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. And then if we move to verse 50 says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. With a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. So, you know, we've all heard this story, right? You've heard David and Goliath since you probably were kids, many of us have. And even if you didn't hear it when you're kids, you probably hear it a lot, just even, you know, in today's world. This is a big story in the Bible that is constantly talked about over and over again. But I started asking myself some questions about this story. And as I started to ask myself some questions around this story, I asked myself, so why does David stand out so much in this story? What was different? What was different about David? Why was he the only one willing to fight Goliath? There were thousands and thousands of people who could have fought him. Why was David, the young shepherd boy, the only one willing to fight Goliath? You know, the last slide I'm going to show you, just kind of referencing back to last week, and then I'm going to get into my message, is a quote that Pastor Randy showed from Chuck Swindoll. And that quote says, so often in facing our own giants, we forget what we ought to remember and remember what we ought to forget. Man, that is deep. If you really think about it, because I've been pondering on that ever since I saw the quote last week. And then I was reading in the book, it's pretty profound. Because what it's telling you is when we face these giants, the things we ought to do and ought to remember, that goes out of the wayside. And we start focusing on the wrong things. I don't know about you, but I do it. All right, so this is a problem, guys, because we are supposed to be front and center fighting a battle. And I don't think we are. So I asked myself, how do we become more like David? What was it that he had? How did he think the way he thought in order to be able to achieve what he was able to achieve and defeat the giant? So that the goal here is for us to go and be able to defeat more giants in our lives. Because we all got them. Not one person sitting here does not have a giant in their life. And so God has given me a message that I believe today is going to really challenge us and encourage us to think differently about how we face our problems and our giants in our lives. So to get there and to really focus on this, there's three things that we're going to talk about from a biblical perspective. And these three things are really trying to understand David's mentality and what he was thinking about. What did David know that others didn't? We're going to get into the Bible, and I'm going to start off with the first one right off the bat. David knew that the combat with Goliath was a spiritual battle. See, this is the first place to start. He knew that combat and being in war and battle with Goliath was a spiritual battle, not a physical one, a spiritual battle. Hear what I'm saying here, guys. There's a difference in how we think about fighting wars and how we think about fighting the challenges and giants in our lives. David realized that he was fighting a spiritual battle. How do I know that? Well, let's go to scripture. We're going to go to 1 Samuel 17, and we're going to start at 23. It says, in verse 23, as he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words, and David heard them. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were very fearful. Right? They ran. Right? Remember the fear that Pastor talked about last week. They just ran. Right? And the man of Israel said, have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel, and it would be that the king will make the man who kills him wealthy with great riches and will give him his daughter and will make his father's house free in Israel. So then David comes up and he spoke to the man who was standing with him and saying, what would be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes the disgrace from Israel? Well, that's pretty bold in itself. Like, hey, what's going to happen with the guy who kills this guy, kills the giant? And he said, this next part is so important, guys, because this hits home. He says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he has dared to defy the armies of the living God? Hear what he's saying here. David is now questioning and saying, I can't believe this. I cannot believe that he thinks he is going to go and battle with God and win. So David, you know what David's doing? He's representing God. That's all he's doing. He's saying, I'm going to represent God. Like, think about it. If you knew somebody was going to always win at something, and you was like, man, they over here talking about challenging you? I'm like, oh, yeah, let's do this, right? Like, I remember when I was younger, I knew that I didn't know how to play basketball really that good. Well, I shouldn't say that. I actually feel like I'm a good basketball player, all right? But, you know, there were some people who were really good when you could get that team, and it's like all the good players on it, and you're the one guy that's the weakest, but you know, like, man, we're going to win, right? You're all about it. You're like, yes, and you're like making a big deal out of it, right? That's how David was. David was like, man, you know what? I'm ready to go. He was like, what do I get? Right? What do I get? Because he knew. Already he knew what was going on. He knew that there was a spiritual battle going on. Everybody else was oblivious to it. And David gets it. David gets it. So, you know, when you think about our world today, all the things we have going on, all the drama amongst people, government, right? Money issues, relationships, all the stuff we're dealing with. How are you looking at that? Are you like the guys, the rest of the Israel man? Or are you like David? Do you see what's really happening? Are you seeing in different lenses, or are you looking in this world lens that we're in today? I want you to challenge yourself with that. Ask yourself, how are you looking at life? How are you looking at the battles in life? So if we keep moving now, I want to go to the next thing that David did and his way of thinking. David knew that the conventional weapons could not defeat Goliath. So if I don't know it's a spiritual battle, then all I can do is think about conventional weapons, right? If I just think this is a physical thing, that's all I can do. I think about the stuff that we have, right? But David knew this is a spiritual battle. The weapons that we use in a spiritual battle doesn't work. So he's kind of in a lot of ways kind of laughing at Goliath because that's all Goliath doing. But David knows. He sees what's going on. And so if we go to 38, verse 38, it says, then Saul clothed David with his military attire, put on a bronze helmet on his head, and outfitted him with armor. So, you know, David getting all fit up, right? All the armor, all the helmet. David strapped on his sword over his military attire and tried to walk. But he had not tested this stuff. He's like, man, you're giving me this stuff? I don't even know what it is, right? So David said to Saul, I can't go with these because I have not tested them. And David took them off. Think about what's happening here. You're about to go in war. You're about to go and fight. And all the protection and the armor and the sword and all that stuff, David was like, no. That doesn't work here. What you're talking about is you're trying to give me some untested stuff
that I know that doesn't work in a spiritual battle, and you want me to put this on and go in and try to fight like this. David took that stuff off. How about us? How easy is it for us to move, push the worldly stuff back, the worldly weapons back, so that we can make clear for the divine stuff, for the supernatural stuff? How often are we willing to say, you know what, I don't need money. You know what, I don't need to go and sue them. You know, I don't need to go and like play tit for tat. How often do we do that? No, we don't step back enough. But David stepped back and said, no, this ain't been tested. This doesn't work in this kind of battle. And so David said, no, I understand there's something different here. The weapons of this world would not work in a spiritual battle. So if we keep going here, the third one shows us, the third piece I want to talk about, it shows us that David knew the believers in covenant with God has authority over Goliath. Hear what I'm saying here. David knew, it wasn't a, oh, I just kind of stumbled into it. He knew that those who were in covenant with God had authority over the giant. You probably say, I don't know what you're talking about. You're just talking crazy. What is authority over God? What does that mean, right? So David was in what we call like the old covenant today, right? David had a relationship with God. Ordained by God, David had a relationship. That relationship afforded David to be able to have the authority that through Christ, through God, all right, at this time, he had that authority. And so it allowed him to be able to talk to be able to demand, to be able to be step over the spiritual battles, those things that were evil and against God. He had the power just like God did in that scenario. He wasn't God. Let's get it straight. David wasn't God. But God said, you know what? I got you. Speak my authority through you. I got you. And David knew that. How do we know that David knew that? Let's see how he talked. Let's see how he reacted. In verse 40, it says, then he took his staff in his hand, chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, that is, in his pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. So you look at David, this young little boy going up this big giant, right? I would laugh at him too. I'm like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing, right? And that's how people were looking at him. So the Philistine also said to David, come to me. Well, actually, he said, before they said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? Right? His little slingshot. You come to me with sticks. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. That's some pretty tough stuff, right? Like, imagine somebody coming to you saying that, and not just somebody coming to you, a giant coming at you. Something that's like, you know, have, like, what does a giant look like to us, right? Like, somebody who's coming to you saying, I'm going to do this and do that. They got all the power in the world, right? All the money in the world. And then they just saying, hey, you come to me, I'm ready for you. Come to me. They're taunting you, right? Well, how did David react? And this is what I mean. This is the difference. Someone who is walking in authority of God versus someone who is walking out of authority with God. Or someone who doesn't have a relationship with God or understand how God wants us to operate in that relationship. What David does, he says, then David says to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. Let's get that straight. He said, you come to me, you're a big old giant. You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you. He didn't say with a sword, spear, and a javelin. He didn't say that. When he says, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of the Israel, of Israel, whom you have taunted. What David is saying is like, let me help you understand who I am. I'm under the authority of God, and that's what I'm coming to you with. You can come with all these physical weapons all over the day, all day long, but I am coming to you with something bigger and better. And he was not scared. He was courageous. He had no problem with helping, letting Goliath understand how he's showing up. He keeps going. He said, this day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, so that all the earth may know that their God, there is a God in Israel. And then he says, it goes on, it says, and that this entire assembly may know that the Lord God does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So think about this. He's walking in authority of God, and he knows what God is willing to do, and he knows God provides. And he's saying, you know what? All I got to do is just speak God's authority. I don't have to do anything else. You can come and do all these other things. Remember I was talking about how I got that little screw thing, right? I got the little screw thing. It was so easy after I realized that's all I had to get. We don't realize that we're making it hard on ourselves. We're trying to fight battles, and we're going and getting stressed out. We're having heart attacks, and we're having all types of issues. Versus just saying, you know what, man? I'm giving this to God. Let me tell you what my God tell me. Let me tell you how my God provides. Let me tell you how my God fight battles for me. Let me tell you how my God never lets me down. Why don't we walk in that authority? And that's how David showed up. Look at the other guys. They're running. They're scared. They don't know what to do. They don't know their backhand from the other. They're confused, right? But David knew who God was because he had a relationship with God. You can't walk in the authority of God if you don't know who he is. You must know who God is. You must have a relationship with God in a way that's like none other. And if you don't today, I encourage you to allow yourself to get time with God. And I'll tell you, if you give yourself time with God, God will be there. You will know. You will know. So this is what made David different from the rest. What weapon did David have? David had one of these. Y'all know what this is? Slingshot, right? Slingshot, right? I hope David's was better than this. Because if his wasn't better than this, man, I would have even been nervous for a second. Like, man, this is what you got, right? But he had a slingshot, right? Now, I wanted to get a slingshot. You know, I was like, let me get a slingshot. I ain't had seen a slingshot in forever. So I go on Amazon on Prime Day. I was like, let me see if there's a slingshot out there, right? So I order this slingshot, gets in. I have Kyra put it together because I was trying to figure it out, right? So what do you think naturally I want to go and do? Absolutely. Like, you know, I'm like a little boy, right? I go and get a rock. I go outside, and it hit my fence. And I was like, man, that was hard. That's pretty good. This thing is actually pretty good, right? So I was like, all right, let me get another rock. I get another rock. I do it again. And what do you think happened? Man, can't believe it. This is what happened. The slingshot broke. I could not believe it. Shot two. I didn't even get three shots out of it. The slingshot broke. Hey, this is going back to Amazon, actually, this Monday. Y'all realize this is going back. This broke in shot two. Like, I don't know. I was so confused. I was like, and the way it broke, it was after I shot it, and it just broke. And I was like, oh, my, the slingshot is broken. I am glad it was a two-pack. All right, so if it wasn't a two-pack, I would be showing you just this one. All right? And so, you know, I think about it. I'm like, man, David, he was like, man, I'm coming with a slingshot. I ain't coming with nothing else but a slingshot. Why do you think David said, I'm coming just with a slingshot? Why do you think he did that? I'm going to tell you why David did that. Because David already knew he already defeated the Goliath. Because David already knew that all he was here to do was glorify God. Guess what? If David came with a sword and a shield and had all that stuff on, and somehow David beat Goliath, they'd be like, oh, David. We'll be like, man, David actually, he did his thing. You know, Goliath was bigger, but David did his thing, right? What wouldn't we do? We probably wouldn't recognize our father. But when David got the slingshot that breaks in two shots, that's why he only could shoot one time, okay? I don't know why he was putting five rocks in there. He must have five slingshots because he knew it wasn't going to last, right? But David knew that if he comes with a slingshot, he's coming with the 300, right? God said, I don't need all these guys to fight. Y'all know I'm talking about Gideon, right? God doesn't need all this extra stuff. God doesn't need us to work hard for him to do his work. God doesn't need us to go and say, oh, no, we got to make this happen. That's not what God's looking for. God is looking for people to have a relationship with him who can walk in his authority, know who he is, and understand that it's the opportunity for us to be able to go and glorify his name. See, this is what David was about. This is what David was about. David's weapon of choice wasn't the slingshot. David's weapon of choice was having faith and trust in God's power. That's what his weapon of choice was. What's your weapon of choice? What is your weapon of choice? See, walking by David walking in a covenant relationship with God, he was able to exercise this supernatural ability to be able to demand things to happen, to be able to speak to the spiritual realm, and to be able to say, no, we are not going to allow this. But when you don't have a covenant with God and a relationship with God, you don't have the authority to do that. So if you keep going down this road, the question you got to ask yourself, if you're not seeing and fighting these spiritual battles, do you have a relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with God? If you're not speaking in God's authority in a way where you see things moving, do you have a relationship with God? So the good news is, we're all Christian here. We all believe in our Father, Christ Jesus, who died for us, sacrificed for us, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and sitting with the Father right now. And he intercedes for us every single day because we all got our problems. We all believe that. So guess what? Because of that belief, we are in covenant with God. See, Jesus is the one that put us in a new covenant. So we are all in that covenant, even if you don't recognize it. Now you have to start practicing what God is giving you. You got to start building a relationship. It's like this, right? You can go and marry somebody, and if you never see each other after that, you can be married. I'm in a covenant, we're married, but I don't even know who you are. Who are you, right? You have to continue to build that relationship. And how do you build that relationship? By learning who your Father is and constantly seeing him work in your life. And going back to, you remember that one slide that talked about that the pastor showed last week with the quote that said, when these battles come, do I forget the things I need to remember? And I remember the things I need to forget, right? If you remember the things you need to remember, what do you remember? Who God is. You remember who God is. You remember that God is your provider. You remember that God will never let you down. You remember that God is always in forefront of you. He already knows what's going on. He sees all the corners, right? That's what you remember. But when you are so stuck in yourself, like we all are, we forget about all that. We start worrying about, like, what is this going to mean for me? How's this going to work out? What if this happened? What if that happens, right? And we completely forget who's in control. So I'm here today to help you see that we don't have to live our life that way. We don't have to be defeated. We can be victorious every single day if we walk in the authority that God has given us. So Today, you know, as I move to the next phase here, I want to talk to you about my big idea. And I just want to keep it simple. Ultimately, the big idea is embracing Jesus as your weapon of choice to conquer life's giants. Embracing Jesus as your weapon of choice. Man, there's so much power in Jesus. I don't know about y'all, but if you think about what Jesus has done for us, and you just allow yourself to just simmer in that, like, man, I'll start to cry. I start breaking down, man. I'm just like, man, what a mighty God we got. What a powerful God we got. That he don't let you down. You could be at your lowest of the low. You could be dirty and slimy. You could be all this stuff. But guess what? God's love goes deeper than that. God's love goes deeper than that. Jesus is always there to give you a helping hand. But he wants you to come. If you keep running away from him, it doesn't work. But he'll never leave you. He will never leave you. That's the kind of God we have. Do you remember that when you're facing that giant? Or do you forget that? Because you know, if you have the most powerful God in the world who would never leave you and loves you more than you could possibly even understand, why do you get anxious about things? Why do you care about how somebody else feels or how this is going over here? Why wouldn't you just say, I'm going to worship my God because he got it already. He already took care of it. And I know that. That's what David did. See, it sounds easy because we read the story. But put yourself in the situation. Right? Like, actually put yourself in the situation. Shoot. Right? I think about gang members, right? You know, like I grew up in Chicago. I'd be like, oh, man, I can watch myself over here. You know what I mean? Certain areas, you got to watch yourself. Man, this is worse than that. Can you imagine this big old giant coming up in here ready to destroy you and you have no place to hide or go? Right? Like, I think we it feels like a fairy tale sometimes. But this is real, guys. These giants in our lives are real. And we can't defeat them with some of the weapons we're using today. So how do we move past that? We got to embrace Jesus as our weapon of choice in order to conquer these giants. So here's what happened, guys. Around 4 o'clock, I thought I was almost done with my sermon yesterday, okay? Thought I was almost done. I was working. My family know, like, when I'm getting ready, I really want to do my best at giving you biblical information. I don't try to twist words. I don't try to do that. I try to give you what God has on my mind. You know, so I get into prayer. I get into worship. I try to do as much as I can to make sure that I'm giving you what God has given me. But at 4 o'clock, I thought I was almost done, and I had a meeting at 6 o'clock that I knew was going to go long. Well, I feel like God told me I wasn't done. And I was like, all right, man, all right, what am I supposed to do? And I'm like, all right, what does God want me to do? I'm like, oh, man, this is difficult. So then the meeting happens. I'm not like, I'm out of time. I feel like I'm out of time. And this meeting goes on to, I don't know, there's a couple of y'all here. I mean, what was that, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock? It went on long. This meeting went to 10 or 11 o'clock. And now I'm like, all right, now everybody gone, the meeting's done, and now I have to get back at it. And I'm asking God, like, I already kind of feel like I'm not done now because God has already told me that, and like, God, like, where do I go? Because I can end now. I can end now and say, all right, y'all understand. Start following Jesus, right? Start putting him first. Start walking in that authority. We move on. But I knew something was unsettling still. And so God had helped me understand that there are some biblical truths that we all need to understand as we move forward. And so, I don't know if you want to take notes, take pictures or whatever, but I'm going to give you the 3 things that God gave me in terms of how we go and have to think to be able to go and fight these battles in the right way, where we're choosing Christ and we're walking in Christ. Because it's easy to say this stuff. You guys know that. It's easy to say it. I'm sitting up here telling you, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. But when we walk out, it's like, what do? Right? It starts with how we think and what's inside of us. And so I'm going to start going through these three. And, you know, again, if you have any questions afterwards, if you want to talk more, I'm always open. First, every battle we face is a spiritual warfare. Many of you that's here today, probably most of you, don't even realize that. Every battle that we face, small or big, by the way. See, I skipped the part of my sermon here that I have actually in my notes, so I can just get to this part. But the other part of my sermon was talking about how David actually practiced before he went and took on Goliath, right? God didn't just put Goliath in front of his face at the very beginning. David had to go through some other stuff. He was a shepherd, you know, and so lions and bears trying to steal the lambs and all that. And David, you know what? He was like, no, man, I'm about to go and take care of this, because he knew every battle was a spiritual battle. And when you start looking at it from that lens, the little things that you let pass by, you start seeing how spiritually that battle is taking place, and you go and take action. So understanding that every battle is a spiritual battle is very, very important. And so we have to be able to learn how to see that, right? But I want to just make sure you understand why I say that. I didn't just come up with it. Peter didn't say this is what it is. Let's go to Ephesians 6:12. What it says in Ephesians 6:12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So what is flesh and blood? That's physical, right? That's the physical stuff, right? That's not our struggle. But against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. In the heavenly places. You see, guys, we're not fighting each other. Those are results of the real battle. I hope y'all just heard what I said there. Those are the results of the real battle. The chaos that we see in our world, the chaos we see in our government, the chaos we see everywhere, that's the results of the spiritual battles. And when we're not fighting those spiritual battles, we know ultimately God wins, right? Well, God already gave us the answer, right? We already know the answer. God ultimately wins. But while we're here, we're supposed to be fighting that battle as well. Let's not let our life go by and not fight the real battles and constantly lose. Those battles, even the small ones, you know what they do to you? It grows your faith. It grows your faith. Because you start seeing, like, man, I won there. God gave me that. Oh, man, God gave me that one. Oh, that little one, right? Oh, he gave me that one, too. So guess what? When the big one comes, you're already confident. Like David, I'm already confident. I know my God got this. That's how we should be walking. We should know God got it. I don't have to worry about anything. So that's the first thing I want you guys to take away. This is a biblical truth. The second one is, earthly weapons hold no power in spiritual warfare. I don't know if y'all heard what I just said there. Earthly weapons hold, not some, no power in spiritual warfare. No power. When once we give ourselves to some, lean ourselves to some weapon of this world, of the physical world, we are already setting ourselves to lose. We are already setting ourselves up to lose. And see, here's the thing, guys. Sometimes we think we won. Sometimes we think we won. Because guess what? We went out there and, you know, if it was a real war, we go out there and we feel like we got some land. We was able to take over this territory, right? The problem is we don't see what's coming flanking us. Because guess what? We ain't looking in our spiritual eyes. We allowing ourselves to think that what we got here is everything. Oh, man, look at the new job I got. I'm doing great. What are you talking about? What do you think? I got a problem. Doesn't matter. I don't see my kids. It's okay. I'm doing good. They good. I'm taking care of them. Right? We start coming up with reasons and things in our mind why everything's good, and it's actually going the wrong direction. So it comes down to us being able to understand that the weapons of this world does not enable us to win the battles in the spiritual realm. How do we know this? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:4. Very clear. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. See, the weapons of our warfare can't be of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. See, we're not fighting against each other. And when we are fighting against each other, what we're really doing is allowing Satan to take more ground. We're not winning. We're actually allowing him to get more ground at that point. The third one I want you guys to take with you is believers in covenant with God has authority over the enemy. I said this earlier, and I explained to you that we are all believers. And if we're not, I encourage you to let's talk about it. But if you're believers, you're in covenant with Christ, which allows us to be able to have authority that we can walk in and to be able to walk in daily, constantly. But we only can do that if we have a relationship with Christ. Because it's difficult to be able to walk in authority as something that you don't even understand. How do you go and claim authority as something when you don't even know what to claim? So in order to actually make it, tactically do it, and actually walk in that authority, you got to know who God is. You got to go and spend time with God. You got to spend time in your word. Like, that's the only way. There's no way. You got to spend time in prayer. You got to be going deeper and deeper and deeper. And you have to be desperately seeking God. That's what enables us to be able to know who he is and be able to claim his victory over everything around us. Let's go to the scripture here. It's Luke. Let's go to Luke 10, 19. It says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. I thought, that seems very blunt. That's not like wishy-washy, right? That's very blunt. Behold, I have given you authority, right? Because now we're in covenant. So now he's given us, God has given us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Not some, not I'm going to just give you a chance and try out. It's not a tryout. God is saying, just take, come and take it. You got to know who I am. You got to understand what you're able to do. But this is not a tryout, because God loves us so deeply, he doesn't try us out. He just embraces us. And so walking in that authority is something that you can do, but you got to believe it for yourself. If anybody tell you you don't have it, you have scripture to go to. You have scripture. You know, here's right. And it's not a gray thing. It's a black and white deal. God is telling you what he set up for us. So after this, God gave me this, and now it's like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, all right? And now I'm thinking, okay, I'm about to go to sleep. Remember Patricia told me before she went to say, yeah, when you come to bed, hug me. I never got a chance to hug her because I realized God wasn't done yet. Because God gave me this, but then God told me, like, no. I want you to speak my word and where I want you to go and where people should go, but I also want you to help them understand how to apply. How do you apply these things? Because this is a way that we should be having within us and how we think and how we feel and how we believe. But then how do you apply these things? And so I'm going to talk through each of those again, but I'm going to give you some specific applications on what you can do to take control of the spiritual realm in your life, to start to fight those battles and not continue to allow yourself to lose. So the first thing, every battle we face is a spiritual warfare. First, identify the small and or giants in your life. You got to identify those first. How do you identify those? Well, we see the physical stuff happening. Now I want you to begin to just think. It doesn't take a lot, guys. All we got to do is just step back and just ask the question, because God gave us some amazing minds and everything. When we ask ourselves a question, our mind automatically start working. It's amazing how it works. Like our mind God has given us is just amazing, right? So between us being able to pray and then just allow God to work within us, it's amazing when you step back and say, all right, I see this situation for what it is physically. What is it? What's going on? Tell me what's going on spiritually. Step back for a moment and give yourself the opportunity to be able to understand what's going on spiritually. Because most of you guys say, well, I've never seen anything spiritual. Well, how many times do you ask yourself, what's going on spiritually? Step back and ask yourself, what's actually happening in a spiritual realm that's causing this? And you say, well, how do I do that? Like, what does that look like, right? Well, the way to do that is to start to look at, like, the Bible. The Bible tells us everything. So when something seems off biblically, that usually means something's happened spiritually. So you can just start looking at what God has told us, his promises. When something is off from God's promises, his word is living, right? And through prayer and through actually reading his scripture and knowing who he is, you're going to start to see the gaps. And then all of a sudden you start to see, okay, yeah, they're going against what God's word is. Oh, now I see what the problem is, right? I'm seeing it, right? Those spiritual battles start to stand out and they start to raise up themselves for you. So that's the first thing. The other thing is go beyond the physical and recognize the spiritual forces at work by writing it down. I know it sounds crazy, but write down the physical things, but then actually challenge yourself to write down, what do you see happening spiritually? It's amazing to see when you start writing down things, how things start to grow. I tell you, I see it all the time. It's amazing. Like, if you're confused, you don't know where to go about something, you write it down, you'll be shocked where you can start to go from there. So write it down. You got problems going on, you got giants in your life, write the giants down. Then start writing down what God is telling you and showing you. Just write it down. So then you move to the next one. It's the earthly weapons hold no power in the spiritual warfare. So how do we now understand what are those divine weapons we need to go after? It starts with prayer, and it ends with prayer. I keep talking about prayer because praying is so important. Because you know what praying is? It's communicating with God. How many people you know have a strong relationship that don't communicate? I don't know any of them. You'll tell me a person you know that has a strong relationship, but you never communicate. Matter of fact, I have friends who I had strong relationships with, but since we don't communicate, it feels like it's kind of dissipate. It starts to dissipate, right? So the reality is communication is key. So you got to be praying. If you're not praying every day, throughout the day, then what kind of relationship do you have with God? All right, let me explain that again. If you're not talking to your spouse throughout the day, what kind of relationship do you have with your spouse? None, right? I could imagine going 2 or 3 days and not talking to my wife and like wondering what's going on, right? The reality is that prayer is key to building that relationship, because then God is talking back to you. He's showing you things. Fast. When it's a big giant, when you see a giant, you know, all right, I got to fast for this. Why do we fast? Because when we fast, it creates more reliance to Christ, right? When we fast, food is something that we need to nurture ourselves, right? We need food, right? We love food, and we actually need some food. We want a lot more. You can see this, right? So I want a lot more food than I actually need, right? But when I fast, it drives me to humbleness, a place of understanding that without Christ, I'm nothing. And my weakness become powerful in Christ. You see where I'm going? So fasting has a purpose. It's not just like, oh, let me just not eat and see what happens. There's a purpose to it. And so between prayer, fasting, worshiping God, reading the Bible, and seeking God's guidance and wisdom, it will help you. These are all tactical things you could do too. This ain't just like thinking. You should be doing these things. And when you do that, you start to hear from God in a different way. And as you start to hear from God, write it down. We keep telling you, write it down, right? Write it down. And when you start to hear from God, you write it down. Then the next step is humbly listen with discernment through prayer and through also reaching out to others, right? Other Christians who are mature Because what you want to make sure is that while we're trying to get ready for battle, who else is trying to get ready for battle? The enemy, right? So what is his best way to go and get to us? Called deception. The enemy is always out to deceive us. So if in that deception, in that moment when we're trying to understand what God is saying, the enemy comes through and throws something over the board, over the fence, we want to make sure it's God. I don't want to make sure the enemy telling me something to do and I think it's God and I'm going down the wrong path. So you got to have discernment. And discernment starts with making sure it's biblical, praying, and seeking wise counsel. I do it all the time. I tell you, the seeking wise counsel, you'll be shocked how well that helps you out. Because when you start to go and seek counsel from people who are mature Christians, they're not going to steer you wrong. They're going to be looking at it from a biblical perspective. And they're going to be looking at it from what God is telling them. So all these things together helps you make sure that you understand how do you go and fight this battle. What is the weapons that you need to use to fight it? The last one is, how do you walk in the authority that God is giving you? How do you walk in that authority? First things first, you must know Scripture. Why must you know Scripture? Scripture enables us to know who God is. Therefore, by me knowing the Scripture, it enables me to go and talk against anything that Satan is trying to throw my way. I know somebody who's famous for that. I don't know if y'all do, but my God, Jesus, I saw him doing it. Jesus was doing it after 40 days of fasting. And he still spoke Scripture to Satan to keep him away. My point here is that we have to know Scripture. And so my tactical way of approaching that is identify and memorize Scripture that negates the scheme of the enemy. So if you know what battle you're fighting, go to Scripture around that. It's either happened already in the Bible, so you can get the whole game plan right there, and or you can go and see what God says about it. That Scripture and putting that in your heart allows you to walk in a different way. It allows you to walk in a different way. It's kind of like when you have a purpose. When I have a purpose, I have purposes in different ways. I have purposes for my family. I have purposes for my work. And that purpose becomes what you stand on. So when somebody else is trying to go a different path, no, that's not what we're about, man. This is what we're about right here. You can't do that if you don't know what we're about. The way to learn what we're about is go to Scripture. I know, we don't have time for it. I know, I get it. Use Audible, Dad. I don't care. Like, figure it out, right? Like, there's ways. There are ways. I use Audible when I drive. You know, I use Audible and things like that. And, you know, the Holy Bible app. Like, there are so many things that we could be doing. And the Holy Bible app is great. They have plans for everything. So whatever spiritual battle you're going through, go to the Holy Bible app and say, oh, I'm searching for that. They'll have it. I guarantee you. There's always ways to be able to go and learn more about who God is. So that's the last thing that I had. And I want to leave you guys with this. I want to leave you with a story. It was this lady named Corrie Ten Boom. Anybody know who Corrie Ten Boom is? Anybody know what Corrie Ten Boom? I see one person's hand up. Oh, two, three. Okay. So Corrie Ten Boom was a Dutch watchmaker who lived in the Netherlands during the World War II. She and her family were Christians who helped hide Jews from the Nazis. That picture actually is her room where they were hiding people in that little under the cabinets right there, and they would go into the walls. All right, and so they would hide Jews from the Nazis. Well, eventually they were caught and sent to a concentration camp themselves. In the camp, Corrie and her sister Betsy endured terrible conditions. Despite this, they held on to their faith in Jesus. They managed to smuggle a small Bible. They managed to smuggle in, and they held secret worship services, bringing hope for all the prisoners that was there. Betsy often remind Corrie that there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. There's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Betsy ended up dying in the camp, but her faith remained strong. Corey was eventually released due to a clerical error. So this is interesting. She didn't understand what happened. All of a sudden, they said, oh, it's a clerical error. You shouldn't be in here. What she proclaimed as God's supernatural intervention. She didn't understand it. It made no sense. Just one day, they said, hey, you know what? We made a mistake. You shouldn't be in here. They let her go. This is all true, by the way, guys. After the war, Corey traveled the world sharing her message of forgiveness and reconciliation. She wrote the book, The Hiding Place. I don't know if you guys ever read it or they even, I think there's even a movie out for it now, which became a beacon of hope for many. One remarkable moment was when she met a former guard from the camp. He asked her for her forgiveness, and with God's help, she forgave him, demonstrating the power of Jesus, love, and forgiveness. You see, Corey was just an ordinary person who faced extraordinary situations, big giants. But she was able to get through those spiritual battles with the strength of Jesus. Like David with his slingshot, Corey faced giants using Christ as her weapon. I encourage everyone today to put Jesus as your weapon. I encourage you not to just feel it, but also take action on it. Today, each and every one of us have an opportunity as we go back today to determine how we're going to fight our battles. How do you want to fight your battle? What weapons do you want to use? God has given us the playbook and the roadmap. Let's fight our battles so that we can actually change this world. You see, when I was really tired yesterday, I had a vision that we as Christians, we're going to get it right. And when we start to get it right, this world will start to tremble. Revivals will happen everywhere. Governments will start to change in ways that are oriented towards God. People will start to see miracles, believers and unbelievers. Eyes will start to open. God's glory will be shining. Let's fight our battles for Christ.